You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Okay, we got the holiday edition. We got Bob Ryan. We got Jeff Goodman, Gary Tagua here. It's time to talk some NBA. It's time to talk some hoops. And again, we are driven by Bet Online, your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from the NFL, bowl season to esports. That's right, esports. A lot to do today, as always. Going to get into the business side of things with the NBA a little bit too. Some mind-boggling numbers to share with you. But first of all, let's start with the Celtics. Bob, we'll kick things off with you. They're 22-9. They're 500 in their last 10. They had a couple of losses to the Orlando Magic. They were a juggernaut, and when Robert Williams came back, everything was supposed to get even better. What's going on with the Green?
Number one, the Robert Williams thing, anybody who has any common sense about sports knows that you don't expect him to come back as a rocket ship, that he's going to come back and be gradually, you know, better and better, presumably. I mean, that's what I would assume anyway. I didn't expect him to be a miracle worker. I'm glad to have him back. I thought there'd be issues of, you know, playing time and all that. That's something that Joe Mazzulla is going to have to sort out. It's good to have him back. And let me just state it this. When they were at their peak, which was the leading Phoenix by 45 points in the third quarter 2 weeks ago, that was all well and good. They were knocking down threes better than anybody in the league. If you know basketball and you know that team was fine. That team wasn't winning the championship. The only Celtic team in the 2023 that can win a championship will have Robert Williams in the starting lineup. Period. We have not seen the team that we need to see to win the championship. Concurrent with that, as much as they were relying on their offense last year, they were big on defense, and this year they're a lot less. And this is, we knew there was going to be a big transition period for Joe Mazzulla, that life wasn't going to be all bullet cherries, and it's not now. So this is now we're going to find out what he can bring to the table as a coach. The three-point thing. I'll pose a rhetorical question. Have they gotten to the point where it's live by the three, die by the three, that's who they are? If they don't make threes, they can't win a game. Because if that's the case, they better learn a plan B. This is a little more reality. They were surreal at the time. But I still like them. They still have, I think, as good a 10-man roster as any team in the league.
Right.
And they've still got Tatum and Brown and Smart and yada, yada. But this is what's the word we want to use to describe what this means for Joe Mazzulla? You know, it's not a crisis, but it's a challenge.
It's a turning point.
A little bit of a turning point, because if this snowballs, then you're going to hear people start to question Joe Mazzulla. But I'm kind of with Bob here. Like, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. They haven't shot the ball well from three. I mean, look at the two games against Orlando. 12 for 47, 11 for 46. That's a shit ton of three-pointers, right? If you're not making them.
Right.
And one of them came without Jason Tatum, right? The game that you thought would wake him up came without Tatum, and they should win it without Tatum against a crappy Orlando team
at home.
But at home, and again, you just lost to this crappy team. But I think it does say something also about the fact that, you know, these people talk about Jaylen Brown as the number one guy. I don't think he can be the number one guy for a really good team. I don't. I think he needs Jason Tatum. And games like this illustrate that he's not, because then they game plan for Jaylen Brown. They're not game planning for Jason Tatum. It's very different. So I think we saw that in the last game as kind of a one-off. Hopefully Tatum doesn't miss, and I don't think he will miss much more time, if any more time. But again, like you said, Bob, you shouldn't be relying on the three when you have a team like this. Like, this is a team that they got guys that can score in different ways. You don't need to rely on the three with Malcolm Brogdon and Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Exactly. They're not one-dimensional, you know, three-point shooters. You don't have, it's not like you have Kyle Korver on this team.
Well, you know, I mean, although Sam Hauser for a while was Kyle Korver, but, you know, and I still think he's
a very, very poor man's version.
I still think he's going to be an asset, but yeah, but he's gone cold and he does bring a whole lot of other things to the table. One thing that I just got to, because I'm getting a little email, not flack, but, you know, legitimate queries from people. Jason Tatum missed the game because of the birthday party?
That's what my daughter told me. I didn't see that.
His birthday party? Now, you know, we don't know, and I'm careful. I said to people, here's the deal. I mean, not here's the deal, but here's a possible deal. Very few 24-year-olds in this country have custody of a 5-year-old child. 24-year-old males, excuse me. Very few. We don't have any idea what brought this about, what his family and the dynamic is that brought this about, and how we know he's attached to that young man. And all that, and that's, but there's, I'm just saying, people are saying, but birthday party, you know, I don't know, I'm not saying this, others are saying, and you know, it's a weird, it's always been a weird part of the Jason Tatum story.
Was he not even in attendance for the game?
No,
he wasn't there.
Not,
I don't know. I'm asking
if this birthday party thing is true, and that's why he was there. So anyway. That's got people scratching their heads and about, you know, yes, you can be a great father, but the 5-year-old doesn't, you know, hey, well, we'll celebrate next week. you know, anyway, it's out there. I'm just telling you, it's floating out there. That's all.
The only thing I'll say to that is, like, I get it. But so many of these players are doing this load management thing all the time. Tatum really hasn't done that. So they probably could have called it load management. The only difference is, again, I don't know if he was there or not. I didn't watch the game, so I don't know if he was sitting on the bench. Probably not. It sounds like he probably didn't make it to the arena.
No.
I get it. I mean, listen, I understand it. I'm one. This never would have happened years ago.
No, that's the context that which people threw it back at me. Because I wrote a column 2 weeks ago, where's he fit? You know, where's he starting to fit in the whole scheme of things for the Celtics' history and starting with the MVP discussion of this year, blah, blah. And you know, and then so, well, you know, you imagine the old days with guys sitting, you know, it's one of those days things. That's all, you know. The Celtics have hit a stumbling block. It's a challenge. It's definitely Joe Mazzulla's first challenge. This is something that he's got to, you know, address and not let it get too far out of hand. That's for sure.
I think they'll be okay. And this is why they fixed it before. Now they did it with Ime. Now, we'll see if they're mature enough to do it either on their own or if Mazzulla can do it. We have seen them fix themselves before. I think that this is a case of maybe they got a little lazy, they got a little cocky, things were going too good, and that's fine. Based on the adjustments we've seen this team make before, I have every bit of confidence that they will adjust.
And
I don't think they will be a live by the three, die by the three team. And Bob's right. I mean, you guys are right. You can't win a title that way. Tatum can get to the hoop. Brown can get to the hoop. You've got other players involved. I believe they'll fix it. What this reminds me of is, and people will say, oh, this is an excuse. They're still young, you know? They're still a little immature in all this where, hey, everything's going great. We're great. No one can beat us. We can mail it in. And I think that that's what we have just seen. And I believe they'll fix it, Bob.
Well, they got two wise old heads in there that hopefully can can spread some wisdom on that subject in Horford and Griffin. So, you know, Griffin, so we'll see.
They and do Brogdon's it. No young kid either.
Right? No, but you know what, guys?
Brogdon's 29.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But, Jeff, I also think that when you have, you know, especially a guy like Tatum, who is a superstar, the vets can only tell him so much.
100%.
You know, I mean, this is kind of like, you know, you could tell your kid, like, okay, I have teenagers. You know, they just got to experience it.
Yeah.
And I think
you're right.
You know,
and Missoula's got to figure out also how he can hold these guys accountable. They haven't had a stretch like this before. It might be a good thing for Joe Mazzulla that it happens now.
Oh,
we thought it would happen even earlier.
There had to be a market correction.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, there's no question.
But we thought it would happen, you know, a month ago. Really, the fact that it got to this point and they've struggled, it took this long to lose 4 of 5 is shocking without Robert Williams.
Right. You know, and you had other teams gunning for him, no doubt.
Yeah.
And they got, you know, I think they'll be fine. If they don't fix it, I will be extremely disappointed. But I think Jeff's got a good point, you know, about the defense. You know, that's the thing we forget about a lot is the reason that they did so well in the second half last year and in the playoffs because they played D, you know, and that's still, to me, the thing that they need to do.
And they should be better. Ultimately, now you get Robert Williams back, you should be better defensively. It's just going to take some time.
And you have a deeper bench, so you should be fresher.
Right. Well, yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Just before we exit this, they played Orlando, and I have a question for Jeff. Is the Rookie of the Year race over?
Over.
Okay.
It was over before the season began, as long as Paolo stayed healthy.
Yeah.
We probably go back to some of our podcasts we did months ago. Mm. I mean, when you watch him, you're watching a grown man. And honestly, he has looked like that since he was like 16 years old.
Yeah, that's
the first time I saw him at USA Basketball in Colorado Springs, I was like, no way. Like, this kid looked like Chris Webber. Again, my comparison was always Chris Webber, but not Chris Webber at Michigan. Chris Webber, after he had been in the NBA for like 10 years, that's how Paolo's body looks. He's a grown man. So there's only so he's going to get his numbers no matter what because he is so big and strong and athletic.
None of that, well, he'll fill out thing.
Yeah.
He'll fill out. Don't worry.
Before we move on to some mind-boggling numbers, I have to tell you that BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL and bowl season to esports. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay. When I saw these numbers, I had to check my eyes here. So the Phoenix Suns, along with the Mercury, the WNBA team, they're going to be up for sale for $4 billion. $4 billion. And I did a little research, and I know Bob has looked too. When Don Gaston bought the team, and that was in 83, the Celtics were purchased for $18 million. $18 million. Wick and Steve bought the team in 2002 for $360 million.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. The Phoenix Suns, that are not the Boston Celtics, are on the block for $4 billion. Jeff, I'll start with you. None of us are Wall Street guys, and I'm not asking anybody to break down the numbers, but can you just explain why you feel the popularity of this NBA juggernaut has just gone through the roof?
I mean, it's marketing, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing, what they've been able to do for this league and market it. You know, you're seeing, obviously, you know, similar scale and the way it's progressing in some of the other leagues as well. NFL.
Oh, look at the NFL.
Right. Damn. Even more so. But this one is mind-boggling. And again, you know, the interesting part for me is that the guy, Matt Ishbia, who's going to buy the Suns, played 4 years for Tom Izzo. He was a walk-on and played for Izzo for 4 years. Izzo's talked to me about him countless times. In fact, we just talked about him in the offseason because of NIL. And he said, Matt Ishbia wants to help me as much as possible. He'll give me whatever I need for NIL, but I don't really want to go that route, right? I don't want to be that guy that's just throwing money to everybody in the transfer portal. And Izzo didn't even go in the transfer portal. But Ishbia is a guy who took over his dad's company years ago, United, what's it
called?
Wholesale Mortgage.
United Wholesale Mortgage.
Yeah, and it was like nothing. He took it over when it was like a mom and pop type company and has grown it into the biggest wholesale mortgage company in the country. And he's obviously a huge hoops fan because, again, he didn't really play, but he was on that national title team for Michigan State, went to, I think, three Final Fours when he was there.
Yeah.
So he's got obviously a basketball interest. But, yeah, the numbers are mind-boggling, Gary. But, again, obviously David Stern was huge in all this. And, you know, the players have gotten to a point, I mean, again, where they are mega stars now. Everybody. It doesn't even matter. Good players on shitty teams are mega stars now.
Sure. Well, it's so international, though, too, Jeff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Now, international flavor.
When you were citing, Gary, the escalation of crisis of the Celtics, Robert Sarver, we got to talk about why this team's for sale anyway. Robert Sarver paid $401 million in 2004, and Matt Ishbia is supposedly going to pay for billion. And that's a rather rapid escalation in that time, I would say.
Less than 20 years, right?
Now, Forbes has put them as the 13th most valuable franchise at $2.7 billion. And yet Matt Ishbia is willing to pay $4 billion total. Now let's look at the Suns. So why the Suns? They have never won a title. They've been to two finals, 1976 and 1993. They've been, they were the first professional franchise in the Valley of the Sun, the first major league franchise. And they're well-rooted in the community, I'd say. But really, this is just, to me, a testament to one man's zeal, Z-E-A-L, zeal.
Well, I mean, even then, Bob, so say they're valued at $2.7 billion. Maybe he's overpaying, but he's a bright guy, and he sees the future. And again, to me, the audience has just grown to the point that this is not the Van Arsdale Phoenix Suns anymore, Bob Ryan.
Or the Westfall.
Westfall, right, or the Alvin Adams. But
or even the Barkley.
When you look at the NBA product, it's not the United States. We're talking that's why I said in our pre-show meeting, when I look at the NBA, I put them in the same class as a Netflix, as an HBO, all of these huge entertainment conglomerates, because they are. Because, like, for example, like Netflix is in 90 countries. So isn't the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a sport. Now, the NFL, and I think Jeff maybe has seen this more, like maybe with the college, like guys that are coming from Europe to play in college, and they're only here now. They're probably going to go right from Europe to the G League or whatever. But the NFL has tried to become an international sport, and it hasn't. It's okay, they've got fans around the world, but not like the NBA.
Well,
I mean, the NBA for Spain, Germany, any of the Eastern European countries, Asia, what Yao Ming did for this team. I mean, the NBA's audience is the entire planet.
As you hit one of the two important nails on the head with how we got here, what the germination of all this was. One, you said David Stern. You're damn right it was David Stern that ushered this league into a whole new realm. That we're, and number two, Dream Team. Never underestimate the global impact of the Dream Team.
Huge.
And so we're going to get another manifestation of it in Dallas, Texas, before we're done here. And that's all due to the Dream Team, in my opinion. So those two things. But David Stern could never get enough credit. And his great thing in this regard, and I'm a big David guy. So I know he wasn't, for some people, the most, you know, charming guy, but he was for me. Anyway, David Stern asked questions. He never walked into these kind of matters thinking he knew everything. He wanted to pick the best brains. He wanted to talk to other commissioners. He wanted to talk to them. And he eschewed the word marketing. He you know, as a sense, it wasn't he, but he in fact was the driving force in terms of lifting the NBA and, you know, uplifting them economically and setting all these forces in motion. Believe me.
And don't we still, at least I feel, and there's more parity now. We'll get to LeBron in a minute. And obviously Michael Jordan had a huge impact on this as well. You know, Larry and Magic got it going. Magic, a wonderful personality. Larry, not so much, but when you put him with Magic, it worked. They're a good duo. And then you have Michael Jordan. You know, but this, God, I was on a roll too with this, and I had a great thought and it just left my mind. But anyways, it'll probably come back to me in a minute.
I tell you how I'd love to pick brain today on this matter and be Jerry Colangelo, because he is the great, great godfather of the Phoenix franchise. He was there at the beginning and wound up getting, he went from general managing to owning basically. What he's thinking about, where did this get? Wow. You know, where's my cut?
Where's my cut?
Well, like you said, the crazy part is it's not like this franchise has been overly successful and
they've never scaled the mountaintop.
I remember my point. I had a great point. It just came back to me. Thank you. I think the league is still awesome. I think the league is still great. The NFL this year, down. The NFL's quality has been down. The NHL has never been able to take off, even with international stars, the way people wanted it to. Major League Baseball, it's too slow. The younger generation doesn't care. Right. The NBA has gone through this maturation financially. I still think it's a great league. I think it's better than ever.
Well, yeah, I don't know about better than ever. I'm not sure I'd say better than ever. I just feel like the only thing to me is, like, the offense is so ridiculous. And I hate to be the old guy like Bob here. I am the old guy like Bob. Maybe not quite as old, but the three-pointers. It can be a little too much right now. You know, the lack of defense, the inflated numbers offensively. Like when a guy is averaging 25 a game, 25 years ago, you were like, holy crap, like 25 a game. Now it's like, you know, somebody scores 25, it's no big deal anymore.
This would be a good jumping off point, guys, for me to get my little point in that I wanted to bring about what an interesting week it's been for individual accomplishment and for team accomplishment. Ahead. In this league, let's talk a little basketball. The money thing just spins. Okay. Since we last convened, Devin Booker had a 58-point game in a 4-point victory. Now that's
impressive.
Doubly impressive. Yeah. Nikola Jokic had a historic 40-point, 27 rebound, 10 assist triple double. Jordan Poole, who started off the season, subpar, had 48 Sunday against Toronto. And the Minnesota Timberwolves scored 150 against Chicago in regulation, shooting 65% and 23 for 43 on threes. So and even Chris Paul dusted it off with 28 in a comeback victory. Anyway, so just plays into what you were just saying, Jeff, about the offense, you know, and that we're going to get you, these numbers are the kind of numbers we're seeing, you know. So
that's are they going to change? Like, my question is, in 5-10 years, is it going to slow down? It can't keep going at this pace. I mean, it can't, can it?
We have people that all across America and in the world, kids are practicing shooting 3-pointers. And, you know, I don't know. I worried about this 40 years ago. No, almost 50. That there was the 70s were an offensive decade. Go look it up. And that the league would perfect itself out of existence. I thought there was the offense was so good at that time and in the old way, you know. Then we hit the ice age of the 90s, you know, when we had finals in which you no one ever broke 100. You know, hard to imagine now for people that are you know, coming of age at this point in time. But go back and look it up, guys, what the NBA was like in that Bulls era. You know, that was an awful ice age of the NBA. Anyway, great question, Jeff. No, we don't know. It's a great unknown.
People love offense, though, guys.
I want an in between.
I want an in between.
Of course, you want balance. So, it's me with the threes. I want balance. You know, I want balance. I want to have some threes, but you know, let's have some post play. Let's okay. Hey, but since we last convened, two rather major figures have exited the scene. One, Steph Curry, presumably not for too long, but. The other one, it's just, you know what, with this guy, when the season starts, you turn the hourglass over, right? Anthony Davis, let me give you the numbers. In the 3 years as a Laker, out of 292 potential appearances, he's made 101.
Oof. Oh.
And now he's all out indefinitely. It's so, and while he's playing the best ball of his career.
By far.
You got a feel for Anthony Davis. You think he wants to do this? You think he wants to be labeled like this? You think he wants to be go? What, he's just coming off on a tremendous run, reminding you how good he is. Why he belongs in the top 75, or maybe exit in the top 50 or 25? Who knows? But not if you can't get on the floor. 101 out of 292 as a Laker.
Yeah, he. I'd love to say I was surprised by this, but again, look at the body frame, and again. It's not like – I don't think Anthony Davis is soft. I don't. I think some people might try to call him soft. I don't think Anthony Davis is soft. I just think his body frame – you know, like we looked at Kevin Durant. He's been hurt a lot too, but he's managed to kind of avoid – you know, for the first part of his career, he was healthy for the most part.
Yeah,
and then, yeah, he's gotten older. He's obviously had some key injuries. Anthony Davis, it just feels like it's been – again – in New Orleans, he was fairly healthy for the most part. He was playing, you know, 65 games a year, every year, I think, until the last year in New Orleans when didn't he sit out at the end? That was when he kind of sat.
Yeah, right. That's when they – right. When they
said, I wasn't playing. I'm done.
He had
a phantom injury.
He had the T-shirt. Yeah. Right, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I just feel like his body frame is not able to withhold. I mean, look at the last injury, how it happened. You ever seen anything like that, Bob, where he gets hurt in the air?
Yeah.
His foot leg hits somebody else's leg and he sprains an ankle in the air?
No, you don't see that. That's something we've never seen. No, I know. It's a shame too. I mean, I want to start with that. You feel bad for him. You're
a great kid. Like a great, great, great guy too.
And what a wonderful player. You know, yes. it's everybody's loss, especially his, you know, so.
Well, and it's LeBron's loss too.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because let's face it, like they had a chance. At least they had a chance to make things interesting, right? Like with AD playing the way he was, you know, LeBron, you're not going to win anything. You're not winning a title, but, you know. Can you get to the playoffs and make things interesting for a series or two?
Let me give you the starting lineup on a 119-117 victory over Washington the other night. Lonnie Walker, Thomas Bryant, Austin Reeves, Dennis Schroeder, and oh yeah, with 38 points, the grand old man. It was going to turn 30 what on December 30th. I've lost track already. But anyway. That's the lineup, and that's.
I mean, that's like a G League lineup, and in what people would have thought. If I had told you Austin Reeves would be starting for the Lakers a few years ago, you would have said you're crazy. Thomas Bryant, same thing. Lonnie Walker, actually, he came in with a lot of hype, but, you know, he didn't really do anything in college. So, yeah, you honestly would have said, well, I mean, LeBron turns 38.
In Thomas Bryant's defense, if you will, not that he needs defense from anybody or me, but he's kind of flown under my own personal radar. I looked him up, and the fact is that he averaged 14 points a game 2 years ago for the Wizards. I didn't know that. I just didn't. You know, the Wizards have become the dictionary definition of forgotten and mediocre, right? I mean, this has been going on.
You're being kind, too. You're being kind.
Going on. We're talking 40 years since they were relevant.
Right.
43. They won it in 48 and 78, and they lost the finals.
When they were known as the Bullets.
When they were the Washington Bullets, yeah.
Yes, with the Kevin Greavies of the world.
I want to throw one thing in for guys, because we are an all-encompassing sport, basketball, forum, if you will. Offer condolences, I think, on our unit behalf to the family of Louis Orr.
Yeah.
And I go, you know, the heyday of the Big East and the Syracuse teams. Yeah. Check out the tributes he's getting from people. Check out Tara Sullivan's column today in the Boston Globe and the reference she makes to what Boeheim had to say about Louis Orr as a person. And all the tributes that he's getting as a good guy gone way too soon at 55. But I got to tell you the funny thing. I was at a gathering last night, a Globe gathering, an annual holiday gathering that they have. And I went up to Dan Shaughnessy and I said, okay, what's the one word you think of with Louis Orr? He said, Gandhi. The Celtics had nicknamed him Gandhi because the movie came out and Ben Kingsley, he looked the same head shape. He looked exactly like Ben Kingsley.
Long,
Gandhi. And so in Boston, in the Celtic world, he's known as Gandhi. But,
class gets, Bob, I got a chance to know him, obviously, because he was coaching Seton Hall. Bowling Green for a while, the nicest guy. When I heard this about 2 weeks ago to the day that he was in hospice, I was down at Jimmy V in New York. And somebody told me that he was in hospice and made a few calls that he had cancer and it was not good. And
so our condolences to the Orr family and it's a loss to the basketball community, Louis Orr.
Well, gentlemen, any other thoughts or should we call it a day there?
I'm just checking my roster here. I think I made all my salient points, Garrett.
Yeah, all right. I'm good. I'm fighting this cough for 2 weeks now. I know Bob's fighting a back injury. We're trying to get through this winter.
But we're gamers, Jeff.
We are. We're gamers.
You're hanging in.
No sloth label on us. Right. No, none of that. Right. No.
All right, gentlemen. Enjoy the holiday.
Happy holidays to everybody. Yes.
Happy holidays,
everyone. That'll do it for the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangwe, along for the ride, Zoom and podcast brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all your sports betting this season. See you later, everybody.